daughter and has given her a mediumship that she can use in her life. I would say our little Jody is on the road to spirituality, holy and high. Yay! I'd crawl over my own mother to get up here, so I'm really excited that I didn't have to do that. Millie just asked me, and I was really grateful that she did, and so I'm really happy to be here. And before I talk about what I want to talk about, I just want to say thank you to someone here in this room who was the reason I'm here, really. She very gently told me about the church and told me about Millie's classes, and just every once in a while said, hey, you know, I think you might like this. And over many, many years, very gently, she just every once in a while mentioned it to me. And when I was ready, I came, and I was home that first night. So thank you, Phyllis. Okay, so there's a couple of passages that I picked out of the Bible that kind of help, that really speak to what I wanted to talk about tonight. And the first one is from Matthew 6:27, and it says, Jesus said, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And that is my little lesson that I've been learning over the past few months. And so I wanted to share with you some of the observations that I made about myself, some of the things that I did to grow, and maybe you'll like some of the ideas I have, and maybe you'll have some good ideas too, because this isn't new. So anyway, making mountains into molehills, or turning mountains into molehills, is what I want to talk about, getting out of the weeds. And we've all heard that saying, I can't see the forest for the trees. So I've been spending a lot of time down in the weeds, and I've observed that, and boy, once you admit to something, then that's the first step towards recovery, right? So three things that I wanted to kind of break down. One is Earth School, and that's something that Millie talks about a lot. The other one is getting to know yourself, which is what I've gotten to do the past few months, and then how I used that to make my problems a lot smaller. And basically the stuff to help me rise above some of this chaos and be able to see a little bit of the trees. And I'm certainly don't think I'm done with this growth yet, but I'm on my way. So Millie talks a lot about Earth School, and that, you know, we were living before we came here. We're living while we're here, and we continue to live on when we leave. And if you can buy into the thought, and it feels right to me, you live more than one lifetime. And I think a really good example of that is the way that if you look at the way our school system is set up, we have several grades that you have to go through. And I like to say a lot, you don't learn everything you need to learn in kindergarten. You know, you go through all the grades, and then sometimes you even go to college and graduate school, and, you know, people can go a lot further with education, but, you know, just grades 1 through 12 are hard enough to get through for a lot of people. And so I think it's interesting that Millie talks about Earth School, and then we have this school system kind of set up the same way. We're all mirrors of God, and we're in the image of God, so why wouldn't we have set this up kind of the way he set stuff up, maybe even without knowing it. So we progress year by year, or lifetime by lifetime. And the general plan is that, and this was part of what got me ready to come to the church, was a book that I had read that Phyllis had given me called Journey of Souls. And it really talked a lot about how, before you got here, and the plans that you made, and the lessons that you decided you want to learn before you got here, and even picking people through likeness to be in your life. And that feels right to me, just from what I've learned so far, I really like that idea. It makes this place seem a lot easier if we know, all right, I'm here to learn. So you set up your lifetime according to what your soul needs to learn in that lifetime, right? And I like to liken that to a school assignment when you're down here. And this was the fun part that I kind of built off of Millie's talks about, or school, is that the teacher can give you a assignment in class, and on that assignment is everything that you need to do to get a good grade on that assignment. And if you follow what the teacher's asking you to do most of the time and you put forth a lot of effort, you can ace the assignment and get an A. Or the lesson plan, you can decide what you want to do and get the corresponding grade. So you can put all your effort forth and get a really good grade, or you can just kind of skate through it, barely pass, or sometimes even fail. And I think that all of these lessons that we learn are kind of like little school assignments, and the Bible is a lot like the lesson, is what the teacher gave us to follow. And so we can use the work that he gave us and put forth that effort and, you know, pull out a better grade, get a better score on that lesson so that you don't have to keep repeating them. My mom laughs at my dad because he says, why do I keep learning this lesson? And she said, if you learned it, you wouldn't keep repeating it. So why do I keep repeating these lessons? I find myself repeating a lot of lessons, and this was one of the things that crept up to bite me these past few months. And I'm sure I'm not the only one who's clouded by the lessons of Earth School, because I'm sure every one of us here in this room has got our lessons that we're learning. But having observed some of these behaviors in myself, I decided to do something about it. And I would like to say that I think we make it difficult for ourselves when we don't stay alert and put God first. And that's one of the things that I am grateful to have learned over the past few years, is how to really put God first. Because if somebody just says that to me without a knowing, I'm not sure I would really know what that meant, put God first. Does that mean I put a fish on my car? Does that mean that I walk around, do I walk around telling people that they're sinners and they're going to go to hell? I mean, what am I doing putting God first? What am I supposed to be doing? And I've learned over these past few years that it's just being an example and loving people and trying to do your best. And it's easy, but I think it's also something that we have to remember and something we have to get in the habit of. So I wrote down a goal in my goal book that Millie encourages us to keep, and it was get to know myself better. And I thought that was a really open-ended, looking back now, open-ended, really, really brave and courageous goal to write down. And I didn't realize that was what I was doing at the time. Get to know myself better. Not really thinking about what that meant. So what I look back at how I've grown up and how my mom said the way I was when I was a child, is I was a people pleaser, always wanting everybody to be happy, and then taking it personally when people weren't. You know, I was the one who walked around the room and, you know, made sure everybody was having a good time or whatever. And I think that's healthy to an extent, but I think you need to know when to turn that switch off and on, because there's times where it's appropriate for me to walk around and be the people pleaser, but there's other times that it's not. And if I don't observe that in myself and start making some boundaries about when it's okay to do that and when it's not, the only person I hurt is myself. Matthew 6:34. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. That was pretty good. So I walked the people-pleasing path for a long time, and I conditioned myself to worry about people at work, at home, relationships with friends, never really wanting to make waves, not really digging on the conflict thing. I would over these years, over my lifetime, much rather back down from an argument than get toe-to-toe and nose-to-nose just to prove that I was right. I mean, it was just as easy for me to say, you know what, whatever, you know, because just don't not liking that conflict. And I think it's a personality style, and some people have it and some people don't. I've met some really good debaters in my lifetime, and those were usually the ones that I was having to argue with. Yeah, I'm not going to try that. So, especially in my work life right now, this was what I discovered. I started having, about 3 months ago, maybe four, started having really bad stomach pains, and I had no idea what it was about, but it made me scared. And when I went to the doctor, she said, "You have heartburn." And I was thinking, you know, I've had heartburn before from being pregnant, but it was a different kind, you know. And I didn't associate this pain with heartburn, and so I was pretty persistent about saying, you know, I don't think it's heartburn. I want you to look more. At the same time, I did do some changes because I thought, okay, heartburn or ulcers or whatever it could be, because I know I'm completely stressing myself out, I'm going to make changes right now. So I started changing my diet and, you know, to try to at least calm my stomach down, not knowing what was wrong. Well, anyway, I went through test after test after test, and the only thing I haven't done is gotten an endoscope to look at my stomach, which feels fine now, by the way. There's nothing physically wrong with me. No reason for this tummy pain. No reason, except for probably what I've been doing to myself for years and years and years, which is swallowing my falling short of my own expectations and not really doing anything about it, or beating myself about the head and shoulders for not doing what I thought I should have done the first time. I spent a lot of time at work wondering if I said or did the right thing, and or if I didn't delegate a task, or didn't stand up for myself to somebody, or didn't set a boundary. And time after time after time, I was falling short of my own expectations and my own desires by allowing myself to not be the way I want it to be. And this was the, why do I keep repeating this lesson? Why do I have people in my life that challenge me in this way, especially with boundaries and with respect and the way that people talk to you? Because I've had a couple of really strong personalities that I've had to, in my life really closely at work. And one was a boss that I worked for 10 years. And, you know, over 10 years, you learn a lot about whether what to take personally and what not to take personally. And after a while, I started realizing that the look on the face didn't really have anything to do with what was being said to me. So I kind of helped, and at the same time that I started learning how to deal with this particular person is when they moved out of my life, which I think is pretty interesting. So I have a person at my work right now who's very strong personality, I would say a little bit lacking in self-confidence, so that they have to be boisterous a little bit and really a little bit obnoxious, because I don't know, I think it's a self-confidence thing. Anyway, I've spent a lot of time analyzing this situation. But I just observed, okay, wait a minute, I keep having these people in my life, and these feelings keep coming up and coming up, and I'm not saying what needs to be said. So not only is this person not knowing what I'm not liking, but I'm pushing it down. So here's all these stomach problems, which I thought was, okay, that's probably what's bothering me. And at the same time that I'm having all these stomach problems, I just happened to enroll in the 12 weeks of, or in the 12 classes, the healing classes. Right around the same week the healing classes start is when I started going, oh, my stomach hurts, which another interesting observation, you know. And so over the amount of time that I'm learning going to these healing classes, and now last week was the last healing class, and guess what? My stomach hasn't hurt really for a couple of weeks. So to me, that's pretty significant. There was all the classes were really helpful, but there was one in particular that Rita Paradis, I don't know how to say her last name, Rita gave, and it was called Personal Healing, and it talked a lot about setting boundaries, and it talked about integrity, and it talked about self-responsibility. And I get the self-responsibility thing, but I think I was taking it too far, because I found myself diving on the sword for everything, whether it was my fault or not. I mean, at work, going in and telling my boss, oh, I made this big mistake, oh, it's my fault, I can't believe I did this, and then 5 minutes later realizing, hey, wait a minute, I didn't have anything to do with that, but so ready, and oh, I'll take responsibility for everything, you know, and that was part of the little light went on, hey, maybe you might want to not dive on the sword right away and stick up for myself a little bit. So boundaries was huge for me because I don't think I've ever set boundaries with these strong personalities in my life. And very slowly I had worked toward that, and I went out for a walk with this gal who I worked side by side with her as a coworker, and then I became her boss. So already you have a friendship, and then you have to switch to this different relationship. And you still want to maintain the friendship, but you have to have a boundary where you start being the boss. And so I took her, we went out for a walk one day, and I told her all about the personal healing class and about setting boundaries. And then that was it. I didn't say anything. And I had a laundry list of things that I wanted to tell her that I didn't like that she did to me. But I thought, I'm not going to bring all this stuff up. I'm just going to talk to her about the boundaries. And I told her I was going to start working on my boundaries, and I was going to start telling people when I didn't like stuff, and I don't like to be told what to do, and I like to be spoken to in a respectful way. And so when the next opportunity came up to share with her something that I found disrespectful and that I didn't like, it was a very scary thing to have to say, hey, can I talk to you? And then sit down and close the door and say, I didn't like what you said to me. I felt disrespected, and I don't want you to speak to me that way. And the reaction I got was pretty much what I was expecting, which was tears and defensiveness, and I won't talk to you anymore, and I won't bother you, and I'll call and make appointments, and you know, just exactly what I wasn't looking for, but I kind of expected the confrontation. I mean, when you're setting boundaries, you're going to have to stick up for yourself a little bit. So we talked for about an hour, and in that talk, we really broke down that conversation when I felt disrespected, broke it down to what was going on at the time and how each of us were feeling at the time, and we really came to a really good understanding of, okay, we were both feeling defensive at the time. We both felt as if we hadn't followed through with the responsibility, and now we're trying to clean up what was basically a mess. And so both of us are very, you know, up here, trying to fix it and trying to fix it fast. And so the way that I got spoken to by her, she was just in the same place I was. And she said, I'm wrong. I'm sorry that I'm wrong. And I said, you're not wrong, and I'm not here to tell you you're wrong. I just am trying to set some boundaries here. But you know, ever since that conversation and ever since the time invested and that so scary to draw that boundary, it's been the best. My relationship has never been better with this person. She speaks respectfully to me, and she's very aware of what I like and what I don't like. And I was really proud of myself for finally saying, these are the things I like and these are the things I don't like. It's like, wow, it was hard, but it wasn't that hard. I should try this some more. So the amount of stress that I was inflicting on myself, worrying so much about these kinds of people, and I wouldn't just say this one person, but having these conversations in my head at night, thinking, that didn't go very well, and oh, this is what I'm going to say to this person tomorrow, and then tomorrow would come and I would never say it. So here I am falling short of my expectations of even standing up for myself. So I became really observant of that pattern, and I, again, admitting it is the first step towards recovery. Whew. So I had to really sit down and think about what kind of lesson I was supposed to be learning, and when I said get to know myself better. And so not only did I get to know the patterns better, and through the stomach pain, I got to know my body a little bit better, kind of paying a little bit more attention to my organs and paying a little bit more attention to what I was eating and feeling better as a result. So I really felt like I made some progress there. But some of the things that I used to get there, I wanted to share. And, you know, it's a really personal thing to go on these journeys. I think it's nice to get ideas from people or from books, but bottom line, we have to find our own way. And it's just like you think about a diet book. That person wrote the diet book because it worked for them. But is that what's going to work for you? I don't know. It might work for you and it might not work for somebody else. But I think the bottom line is we could take in all this information, but it's going to have to be it's going to be us that finds our way through the muck. So the sentence before the Matthew 6:34, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Right before that, Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow. So here we are again with the putting God first and seek his kingdom first. And what did that mean to me? So I had to step back and try to take a look at the big picture. And from taking Millie's classes, I know that I know. And I know what feels right to me, and I know what doesn't feel right to me. And each one of you knows you know. You know, and it's a personal thing. But that kind of helped me on my way of saying, okay, I could put God first. And I really deeply desire to do this. It's a day-to-day thing. Each day has enough trouble of its own. I mean, just to wake up in the morning, and I want to pray in the mornings, listening to Helene in healing classes. She's a natural-born prayer. And she prays when she gets up in the morning, and when she takes her break, she goes outside and says prayers because that's what makes her feel better, you know. And Helene works with Child Protective Services, so you can imagine probably the prayers really help her through her work. And I know it helps me. It would help me too, even though I don't work in an environment like that. I work with children, but they're grown-up children. Of course, that could be anywhere, right? So the healing classes were big for me, so I learned all those lessons. I learned a lot. Even just practicing healing helped me find in here what felt right and what didn't feel right. And another thing that helped me make things smaller was, okay, I'm a child of God. And that song that we sing sometimes in class, I feel the love of God in you, the light of Christ comes shining through. Oh, holy child of mine. It's talking about every single one of us. I know that it's probably talking about Jesus the most, but I think that song, every time I sing that song, I'm thinking about everybody in the room, because really it applies. So knowing that this is Earth School means that first and foremost, I'm a child of God. So I'm just here at school, and it's going to be over really fast. Even though it seems like a long time here, it's going to seem like a flash in the pan. So, and knowing that this is just one life expression that I've chosen, kind of helps start to make things a little bit smaller. It kind of helps me start to rise up out of the trees, you know. Okay, this is just Earth School. So if I'm here at work and I'm totally stressing out over something I don't have any control over, is this, in the big picture, how much is this going to matter, you know? Is it going to matter that I wasted all that, or that I spent all this energy worrying about things, or I can't see how that's going to help. And so that kind of helped me start to make things small. It's just sitting at my desk at work going, okay, this is not it. This isn't all there is. This is so small. It's so small. So yeah, flash in the pan. Once I'm free of my flesh body, it will seem like a really short amount of time. And Millie talks about that too. You know, it seems like such a long time, but now it's just boop, this much, boop, you know? And I'm going to think, oh, what did they say? Nobody ever laid on their deathbed saying, I wish I would have spent more time at work. No. Oh. So all of a sudden I went, hey, wait a minute. Maybe all these stresses and all these worries are just illusions. I'm living in this illusion that I've created for myself, that this is so monumental to me, this mountain that is, that's my life, that's work. And I mostly talk about work because that's where all my stress comes from. The family life is what keeps me going, and church is what keeps me going. Whew. I don't know where I would be right now if I hadn't have found this place. I don't know what kind of medication I would be on. Or how many. Oh, it saved me. Woo. So the bigger picture is God's plan. So I think, you know, if I made the plan to learn these things from, if I, one of the things I planned to come down here was to stand up for myself and to set boundaries and then to be an example of God. I'm excited about these lessons, and this is what God's plan is. God's plan isn't that I work 40 hours a week and retire, you know. That's not the plan. So that is really helping me come up out of the weeds. Okay, this isn't all there is. This isn't a big deal. I can do this thing. This is the illusion. What's real is once we leave the flesh body. And it kind of makes down here a little bit surreal to me. Because I was thinking today, am I going to be conscious after I leave this flesh body? You know, and I'm going to be. And I'll be aware of everything from this lifetime all the way back. How exciting is that? And it just really is. It just gets smaller and smaller and smaller to me. And if you think about the universe and how big the universe is, and you start backing up and backing up and backing up, it's just, woo, how much of a little tiny speck are we really? So it really is small. It's so much bigger. So I'm starting, being able to start letting some of this stuff go. Oh. And it's my plan with God. I don't think it's just my plan. I mean, I made the plan, and probably I made the plan with all of you guys too, and everybody here at Earth School. Everybody's part of my school program, and maybe they might not be in class with me, but they're all still here too. So I really think that my plan is God's plan, but we're all here together at the same time. All kind of, let's see, we're all bubbles of God. Everyone here is here in Earth School with me. And so if you go back to the Earth School handout, the part about following the handout is the part where you put God first. It's as easy as that. We just follow the handout. It's putting God first. And to me that meant just trying to remember every day, I'm a child of God. I'm perfect just the way I am. I'm perfect for what I'm here to do. And I can't be putting myself down. I'm here to learn, and I'm perfect, but I'm also human. So I'm going to make mistakes, and that's okay too. And the lessons I could have put more effort into are the ones that I keep repeating, because I got low grades on them. So I just have to keep repeating those lessons until I get them right. So those are some of the things that I tried to make it smaller. And maybe you might like some of them, and you might have some ideas for me or for each other. But in summary, remember it's Earth School. Get to know yourself. Get to know your buttons. Get to know your triggers. Be observant of them. Admit to it. And then ask for growth. Look for your opportunities to grow. It's not always fun. It's not always a walk in the park or a piece of cake. But boy, it sure feels good on the other end once you stick your neck out there. I have a card, and I can't remember who the lady is, but she's the one that does the cartoons and the sayings, Queen of Everything, and Mary Ingalls, right? Yeah, and there's one that says, why not go out on a limb? That's where the fruit is sweetest. I really like that. So, yeah, remember it's your school. Get to know yourself. ask for growth and put God first. And then suddenly, all my problems got small when I put God first. And I was able to see the silver lining in the clouds above all the earth noise and chaos. Thank you.
She's just sweet.
Yeah,
she is.